One thing I am certain of, God desires that you and I be successful. Now, I'm not talking about having a big bank account or having a big house, but I'm talking about successful in your relationships, successful in your marriage, successful in your parenting, successful in your chosen vocation. But a lot of times, we don't achieve success because in that path that leads to success, there are some giants. And they either stop us in our tracks or they trip us up. And it's those giants we're talking about and how God would help us overcome. We're examining the life of David and how God helped him overcome the giants in his life. The giant we're talking about today, and I think that we would all agree with it, life sometimes is unfair.
It's not fair. Why don't I get the smaller half? Why'd he get the bigger laugh? Why can't I have a pet giraffe? It's not fair. Why can't I have curly locks? Why can't I have my own box? Why now, chicken pox? It's not fair. You get to stay up late. I have to go up at 8. They said they would, but didn't wait. It's not fair. Why don't you yell at her? Hey, it was my turn to stir. I don't know. It's all a blur. It's not fair. Why does she get brand new shoes? Why does my team always lose? Why'd I get these funny feet? Why'd she get the window seat? I always get the boring sheet. It's not fair. Why did he get an extra leg? Why am I the little square peg? Why must I lay all the eggs? It's not fair.
If you've ever felt like that, say amen. Amen. Let me tell you what happened to me on July 4th of this year. I was back home visiting with my brothers in South Carolina. And we were just talking about coming up and our family and all. And I don't know what brought the subject up, but I said, guys, what about all those spankings that my father gave us? And my brothers looked at me and said, what spankings? And it shocked me. I said, didn't y'all get a lot of spankings? They said, no. They said, we suppose that you got them because you were the oldest. And I remember I'm sitting there thinking, that wasn't fair. And my baby, Brother Wayne, was a pest. If he was an insect, he would have been a mosquito. Let me tell you what happened one time. We're sitting there watching television. My father's asleep in his recliner, as he often did. We're sitting there watching television. My baby, Brother Wayne, I was probably 10, something like that. He was about 5 or 6. But I'm sitting there. He puts his hand in front of my face, and he goes, nah, 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 nah. And he kept doing it, nah, 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 nah. Well, I kept pushing his hand away and pushing his hand away. Well, he just kept at it. So finally, I slapped his hand. Well, when I slapped his hand, he hollered, woke my father up, who always woke up like an angry grizzly. And he tore me up. Because the first thing my brother said was, Ken hit me. It wasn't fair. But let me just tell you, life is not fair. The new hire gets the job promotion instead of you. It's not fair. The young girl that stands by the grave of her mom says, it's not fair. When we walk out of the doctor's office after receiving the bad news, we think, it's just not fair. Our spouse mistreats us. And then the judge makes his divorce decree, and we're thinking, it's not fair. Life is not fair. People will mistreat you. People will abuse you. Circumstances will not fall right for you. But it creates for the Christian a real dilemma. And the dilemma is this. God expects us, even when we are treated unfairly, to respond with grace. Not how we want to respond, but how do we do it? How do we respond with grace when we are mistreated? Because all of us feel the same way. He hits me, I hit him back harder. They lied about me, well, I'm going to lie about them. They honked their horn at me, I'm going to honk louder. That is what is natural. That is how the world does it. But you see, we have a different place in life because of our relationship with Christ. He holds us to a different standard. They may get by with it. They have no relationship with Christ. You have a relationship with Him, and He's not going to let you skate on it. I want to talk to you today about displaying grace when you're treated unfairly. Because if you don't learn to display grace when you're treated unfairly, you're going to fall into what Paul calls the gall of bitterness. You're going to find it develops something in your life that you can't extinguish, and it's just destructive. But let me first of all remind you what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor. Real simple. It's when someone does something for us that we don't deserve. It's just unmerited favor. And as I'm going to be reminding you, you're in Christ because of His unmerited favor to you. When our tendency, again, is to want to lash out, I believe God expects us to display grace. He wants us to display what He does and who He is. Grace is never easy because, again, our tendency is to want to get even. Let me remind you of what's happening in the life of King David. Now, everybody remembers, David defeated who? Goliath. And boy, that helped King Saul out a lot. Because Saul didn't want to fight him. And then David became like a general in his army. And he began to take him out. And he was defeated the Philistines left and right. And then Saul found out David was also a poet and a musician. So he would have David come in and play his harp for him. Don't forget, most of your Psalms were written by David. So David is doing everything he can, but one day, as the armies came back in and Saul came in and David came in, the people broke out in song. And they began to sing, Saul hath slain his thousands. Saul hath slain his thousands. Saul hath slain his thousands. And boy, that made Saul feel good. Until they hit the second verse of the song. David hath slain his 10,000s. David hath slain his 10,000s. David hath slain his 10,000s. And Saul burned with fury. After that, on two occasions, Saul took a spear when David was playing for him and tried to kill him. Two occasions. Then Saul sent his armies out to find David and kill him. They were out searching high and low with one purpose, bring him back, but don't bring him back alive. Saul allowed himself to fall into that pit of bitterness where David always displayed grace. And here's what I want you to understand. Oftentimes, how far you go in life and how successful you are is going to depend, have you fallen into the pit of bitterness? Or are you going to display grace? With that, just several quick points here. The first scripture I want to show you is 1 Samuel 24:6. Let me set the scene for you before I read the scripture. David and some of his soldiers are hiding in a cave, okay? They're hiding in a cave because they heard Saul's armies come. All right? When the army passes by the cave, King Saul says, guys, I've got to go relieve myself. Everybody understands what he's doing. All right. So King Saul goes into a cave to relieve himself. David and his soldiers are hiding in the cave. So while Saul is relieving himself, the men kind of poke David and they say, now's your time. Let's kill him. So David crept up on him, pulled out his knife, and cut off a small part of his robe without him even knowing it. Now the scripture that we have is David's response to his men. The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, who is the Lord's anointed. So here's what I want you to see here. Your first point is this. Remember always that God is watching. David knew it. David understood, although we're in a cave, and although if he had thought the satellites can't see us here, God sees me. Did you know that life is a test? And the frightening thing about it, it's a pop quiz. You recall being in school when the teacher would say, all right, I want all books in the desk, and pull out a piece of paper. I would always say, oh no, because I never studied the night before. Life is a pop quiz. You never know. You just never know when something's going to happen to us and God is looking at how we respond. How are we supposed to respond? Jesus taught us plainly. He told them, if that Roman soldier bids you to carry some of his armament a mile with him, and that would have been unfair, wouldn't it? For a soldier to ask someone to carry his armament, Jesus said, carry it too. Jesus said, if you have an enemy who is despitefully using you, pray for him. Paul says if you love that person, that you're heaping coals of fire upon his head. You see, Jesus tells us as his followers that he expects us to display grace, even when the natural response is to lash out. Our example is, of course, our Savior, who, although he was beaten, lashed, a crown of thorns pressed down upon his head, prayed for those who were crucifying him. We display grace because God is watching. And I do think that sometimes God allows these tests in our life. God allows these pop quizzes and allows for someone to mistreat us, someone to be unkind to us, that we learn to respond and show grace. Because again, we have a relationship with the living God. You do understand that the Bible is written for me and you as far as the commands are. The teachings of Christ are for us, not those that don't know him. They can respond how they want to, but God says we are to respond with grace. David understood God is watching. All right, then chapter 18, verses 7 through 8. As the armies came in, they began singing and dancing. Saul hath slain his thousands, and David hath slain his 10,000s. Saul was very angry. This refrain displeased him greatly. Second point is this: recognize that what happens in you is far more important than what happens to you. Whenever something happens, the greatest concern is what it's going to do inside of us. If you contrast Saul and David, I think you contrast the world and you contrast how God expects Christians to ask. Saul is angry. Inside, he's boiling. Inside, he can't believe that they're singing about David being more successful than him. He's jealous. It's tearing him up inside. And yet, all that David's ever been is good to him. It's all he's ever been. Have you ever known people like that? That whatever you say to them, it's going to come out nasty. Whatever happens to them, there's going to be anger and fire and vengeance because it's what's inside of them. Now, David, on the other hand, even though twice King Saul has tried to pin him to a wall with a javelin, even though Saul has a price on his head and he sent his armies out to kill him, there is something different in the heart of David. He always responds with grace. Because David had a relationship with God. Now, all of us can come to church on Sunday and we can look pretty and we can act pretty. You know what I mean? We can come to church on Sunday and we can stand and sing, and when Alan extends the greeting time, we walk around hands and we shake these hands and we smile at people. We can act very gracious. But how do you act when you go out to eat and the server messes up your order royally? How do you act when you get cut off in traffic and you spill your coffee all over you? How do you act when your boss says, "I'm sorry, I'm giving the promotion to the new guy"? You see, what is inside will come out. Now, if I have a cup in my hand, and I'm walking, and we bump into each other, whatever is in my cup will spill out. If it's water, you get wet. If it's coffee, you might get burned. If it's a fruit punch, you may get a stain on your shirt. But whatever is in that cup will come out. Whatever's inside of you will come out. And understand that circumstances are going to occur in your life that are unfair, but you must guard and be careful that on the inside it not corrupt you. When Saul bumped into people, do you think it scared them? I think it did. Have you ever known people on your job that you didn't want to cross because you know what's going to come out? But you know what? I think if you bumped into David, he would have just smiled and said, don't worry about it. With Saul, you may have to jump back because there was a lot of anger inside of him. Something he never got over, the fact that he was being, as he perceived, mistreated. Let me ask you this. If people bump into you, what flows out? When something happens unexpected and people bump into you, are they going to see grace? Are they going to see a smile? Or is the anger going to come out? I can't believe they're treating me that way. By the way, there is only one way to get rid of what happens in the heart, and that is forgiveness. It begins with you forgiving the person that hurt you. And I'm not going to say it's easy, but I will say that it's necessary. Because until you forgive that person, they still have control over you. And that anger, that bitterness, that corruption will just grow inside of you. So you forgive them, and then you look to God and say, God, now forgive me for the way I've been acting. Forgive me, Lord. Heard about a man that went to the doctor. He'd been having these headaches, and he found himself shaking sometimes, and he went to the doctor for an exam to find out what's wrong. So he sits down and the doctor begins to ask him some questions. And the doctor notices on his arm a peculiar circular series of wounds. And the doctor says, what is that on your arm? He said, oh, my neighbor's dog bit me a few days ago. And the doctor looks at the arm and he asks him his symptoms again. He says, I think you've got rabies. So he reaches over beside the doctor, picks up a pad and pencil, and begins to write down some. And the doctor says, what are you doing? He said, I'm writing down the names of people I'm fixing to go find and bite. Ever known people like that? You know, it's one thing to know them. It's another thing to be like them. 1 Samuel 18:10. The next day, an evil or harmful spirit from God came forcibly on Saul. And he had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it at David. Now what this is talking about, this is not an evil spirit that was sent by God to Saul. It is that God permitted this in his life. And it's that thing that we all have seen where somebody loses control and they lash out. You see, Saul is sitting there and David's playing his harp for him. I think that's pretty nice of David to do. But all this Saul is thinking, that song they've been singing about him. They think he's better than me. They think he should be king inside. And the more I thought about it, the angrier he became. And he grabs that javelin and hurls it at him. Third point is this. We must avoid that pit of bitterness. The pit of bitterness is full of vipers. the viper of anger. And I've heard people say it, just can't control my anger, preacher. It's birthed in this gall of bitterness. In the pit, there's a viper of revenge. I've got to get even. I've got to do to them what they did to me. There's this desire, this need to avenge the wrong that was done to us. You see, bitterness is internal, but it always becomes external. Back in, let me think, you're around 1988, I think. No, 1978. Ginger and I had moved back to Rome, Georgia to start a mission church. At the time, I thought I could do it. I knew diddly squat, didn't know him well. So I got a part-time job delivering newspapers. Went down to a local car lot owned by the Crook family. That should have gave me a clue. Don't buy a used car when it says Crook on the sign. But I bought a used Datsun B210 because they were supposed to get good gas mileage. On the outside, you know what? Looked like a cool economy car. It was about the color of the seats that you're sitting in here. So I drove it for a few days and everything went well. But when it turned cold, I noticed there was a breeze kept coming in. So I closed the vents off and I rolled the windows up. But this breeze kept coming in. Then one day I pulled the carpet up and there was a hole in my floor. The guy put a little piece of plywood down there, pulled up the other one. It was eaten up with rust. So I think, well, I'm just going to sell this thing. So I took it to the car wash, one of those kinds that you take that wand and wash it off. As the wand went down, the paint just came off as pretty as you please. It just peeled and it peeled and it peeled. I paid $800 for a car, for the car. I sold it 3 months after that for $300. And as the guy drove off, I'm thinking, sucker. But let me tell you, it looked good on the outside, but the inside, it was a heap of rust. There is something that happens in the human heart when we allow what happened to us to become our focus. Will you be mistreated? Yes. Will your spouse take advantage of you and mistreat you? Probably. Are your kids going to take you for granted? Yeah. Kids, are your parents going to mess up with you? Yeah. So we forgive and we go on. But here's what some people do. They sit back. I can't believe what they did to me. I just can't believe what they did to me. And they start going over it and over it and over it in their mind. I can't believe what they did to me. And then you start thinking about why they did it and how unjust it is. And how I'm going to get even. And it begins to change you on the inside. Because you're focused on that which is evil and that which is corrupt instead of that which is good. And then you begin to wonder, why am I not getting the promotion on the job? Because someone's told the boss, you can't get along with anybody. I'm wondering why I'm having conflict in my marriage, because anytime the wife asks you something that she thinks you don't want to do, you lash out. You may not know you have it, but other people do. One day our bird dog came back, a bird's dog's name was Prince, good bird dog. But he came back one day and he came up on the front porch. And from inside the house, you could smell him. Evidently, he'd found a skunk. Because I'm telling you, he reeked of skunk. He acted like he didn't even know it. He couldn't figure out why nobody wanted to be around him or nobody wanted to play with him or play fetch, because he stunk. When you fall into that pit of bitterness, that stink is inside of you. And it might be the server at the restaurant that catches it. It might be the boss when you're upset about something that catches it. It might be the spouse that you hope to keep that catches it. It might be your children and you're wondering why they act like they don't want to be around you. We must avoid that pit of bitterness. And again, forgiveness is the only remedy. Now, some of you have been deeply hurt by people. Deeply hurt. I've heard a few of your stories. And I just feel so bad for the pain that you endured. But you've got to recognize you can't let it taint everything you do. Whoever abused you, they'll answer to God. Whoever took advantage of you, they will answer to God. That's not your job. But if you want to get over it, you've got to forgive them. You've got to let go of it. And then you've got to say, God, help me not to think about this. Help me not to ponder this. Help me not to run down this road all the time. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4:31 puts it this way. He says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as Christ forgave you. Did you know, even in the church sometimes, people will do you wrong? That they probably aren't aware they're doing it, but they will do you wrong. They'll forget to invite you to something they're doing. Not because they don't care about you, they just forgot. Are you going to become angry at them? Are you going to forgive them? I remember I was told one day that somebody in the church was angry at me and I couldn't figure out why. They said, because Sunday you didn't speak to me. Well, I'm thinking, I don't remember seeing them, but surely you understand that everyone's not going to speak to us every Sunday. But he says, be kind and compassionate to one another. And then here's the caveat, forgiving one another just as Christ forgave you. Pastor, you mean God expects me to treat other people the way Christ treats me? Yes. Even those people that abuse me and mistreat me? Yes. They nailed him to the cross and he forgave them. He expects that of us. If you don't learn to forgive, if you don't learn to overlook, the giant in your path will be when people treat you unfairly, because every time it happens again, it's going to rise up and trip you. It's going to destroy every relationship that you're in. You're going to have a hard time being close to your children because they're scared to tell you anything. That marriage is going to be tough because your spouse is just afraid to even go there because of what comes out. And on the job, let me tell you this, the boss wants people that makes life easier for him. And to have somebody, if they're constantly saying, he's fussing at me, he's yelling, what's wrong with him? Boss doesn't need it, boss doesn't want it. Forgive. All right. 1 Samuel 24. So Saul took 3,000. Able young men from all Israel, And he set out to look for David, and he's not going to give David an award. He went into that cave to relieve himself. Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. By the way, David felt bad about that. David felt bad that he cut off the king's robe. He thought that was really even too much. But here's the point. Display grace even when you don't feel like it. I've got to imagine David's heart is beating out of his chest. Because if Saul sees him and calls for his soldiers, David's dead. He is being maliciously mistreated. Nothing kind is happening to him. But he doesn't respond how he feels. He responds with what he knows is right. He responds with grace. People will make you angry, but don't lash out in your anger. Don't let your emotions control you. Don't let your feelings control you. You respond with grace. Saul, on the other hand, his feelings controlled him. He's angry, he's hurling a spear. Don't trust your feelings. They will betray you. Feelings hinge on how people treat you. They hinge on how you feel. They hinge on past experience. They're no gauge of what you ought to do. We do what is right because we know it is right, whether we feel it or not. Now, Saul, again, he's angry. He lashes out in anger. David, I think, is also angry. He's upset. But does he respond from his anger? No, he responds with kindness. He responds with grace. He does not respond with what was done to him. He responds with the way God treats him. So don't respond with how you feel. Respond with what you know is right. Let me give you a fifth and final point here. Remember that you have been the recipient of grace, which is God's riches at Christ's expense. Nobody here wants God to treat them the way we treat others. We cry out for the grace and the mercy of God. And God says, fine, but I want you to display it to others. Remember what the Bible teaches about you and me. The Bible teaches that we have a heart that is bent away from God. We have a heart that is bent towards sin and rebellion. We want our way. That toddler that screams in the grocery store demanding that thing at the aisle is no different than us. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We have all sinned. We've done our way. We've demanded our way. We have walked away from Christ. We have disobeyed him. We have lived a life where the only person in control was ourselves. And yet God displayed grace and mercy to us. The cross is about mercy. The cross is about grace. The cross is not about what we deserve. It is about how much God loves us. And when that person mistreats you, and they will, when that person lies to you, steals from you, cheats on you, abuses you, and they will, you choose to respond how the world responds. Or you choose to respond with grace. And Jesus displayed grace at the cross. Now, I've often said, if I had put in the place of Christ, and I had been suspended, and they had put holes in me. If I prayed, I don't think I would be praying for their forgiveness. I think I'd have been praying for that lightning bolt to come take them out. But here's what you need to remember. God loves that person who also has mistreated you. He cares about them. Something has probably happened in their life that's made them this way. God loves about them. God cares for them. And by responding with grace, you might be the person that can help them at least begin to think and look toward the things of God. Because grace always extends from Him. The Apostle Paul says, but God demonstrates His love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You sit down at the restaurant today and the server brings you the wrong meal. But everybody else has got theirs and you really don't have time to send it back. So you make some smart remark and you say, well, I'll just go ahead and eat it then. Or you can say, you know, I've never had this before, but I'm willing to give it a try. And smile. We can show grace instead of anger. Your spouse, now this word gets tough, guys. Ladies. Your spouse makes you mad. And you want to say something really bad. But instead, you hold it in. And you say, how can I help you? You respond with grace, not with anger. You see, if you want to be successful in life, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your vocation, in your friendships and relationships, there are giants that will stop you. And one of those giants is how you respond when you're treated unfairly. And if you will learn to display grace, you will get the attention of God. And like David, God will say, I want to bless him. I want to bless her. You are aware, aren't you, that the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. You see, your heavenly Father enjoys showing grace. He enjoys showing mercy. He enjoys forgiving. And He asks that you, His child, be like Him. Show grace. Show mercy. Show forgiveness. I want you to think about two things. Are there people in your life that you need to show grace to? Are there people who have wronged you, who have hurt you? And maybe you've built up a wall, or maybe you just ignore them, but you need to show them some grace. That you pray, say, God, how can I show grace? And secondly, have you received the grace of God in your life? Have you allowed the mercy of God to forgive you and to restore you and to do a miracle in your life? Would you stand with me for just a second? Guys, just some soft music. Now listen, guys, ladies, I'm serious. Are there people in your life who have wronged you that you've never forgiven? Are there people in your life that have brought some bitterness into your life? And every time you think about it, you start getting angry. And remember, it does come out. It's going to get worse and worse until you forgive them. Until you say, God, help me to forgive them. Help me, God, to just wash this out of my mind and heart. God, I know they took advantage of me, but I forgive them. I've taken advantage of others. right now while you stand here, you can forgive them. You can cry out to God, God, help me to forgive. Maybe it was a parent. Something you've kept bottled up for decades. And the Holy Spirit has convinced you this morning you need to forgive them. Maybe it's a co-worker. Maybe you've not been speaking to your spouse for a long time now because of something he said or she said or they did. And you need to forgive them. Remember, it's not how you feel. It's what you do. You can pray a prayer like this, Father, I don't feel like forgiving them, but I know that I ought to. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I forgive them. And Father, I pray that you would begin to change my heart toward them. Help me to display grace when I see them. And instead of a frown or a snarl, may I return a smile, Lord. And then for those of you who may be here today and this thing of grace is foreign to you, and you're thinking, I've never received grace from anyone. Well, today is your lucky day because you can receive grace from your Creator, who wants to forgive you, who wants to restore His relationship with you. You could simply pray, Father, I know I've been rebellious. I know my heart has been turned away from you. But I ask you to come into my heart and to forgive my sins and make me as your child. And in that you receive the grace of God in your life, you receive His forgiveness. Without embarrassing anybody, if you just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, I prayed a prayer this morning. Would you pray for me? Are there others? God bless you. Father, do in us a miracle that through us and through our life, others might see Christ. And may, Father, we, when we're mistreated, when we're untreated unfairly, help us, Father, as Christ did, to display grace. For it's in His Son's name that we pray. Amen.